CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts online at citytalk.fm.
Rob McLaughlin on CityTalk 105.9.
Well, I have in front of me the front page of The Guardian from Monday, the 21st of July, 1969. It says US astronauts take an early walk into history at 3:39 a.m. On the Moon is the headline after perfect touchdown. And one of the men, of course, who described that for millions of viewers here in the UK, I'm delighted to say, is on the line right now, live with me. It is the one and only Sir Patrick Moore. Sir Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Do you feel as excited now looking back at what happened 40 years ago as
yes,
you did then?
I do. After it was one of the greatest moments in human history, the gap between two worlds had been bridged. But I was anxious too, because if they'd made a faulty landing, they couldn't have got back. There was no provision for rescue. In the same way, when they finally blasted away from the moon's surface, they had one asset engine that had to work properly for the first time. Luckily it did.
Buzz Aldrin, in his new book, of course, which has come out, has actually revealed that they came pretty close to aborting it, didn't they?
They did. They were very short of fuel. The first landing site, particularly unsuitable as they came down, there were too many rocks and boulders there. So Neil took over manually, guided onto the next site, he hoped was suitable. Luckily it was. Had that been unsuitable also, they would have had to abort it.
There was a lot of controversy at the time about the Russians, because the Russians had a Sputnik in space, didn't they, at the same time?
They did. There was a Russian rocket buzzing around the moon. And the BBC sent me over to Moscow to find out what it was. It was one of these before they intended to bring back samples. It was, in fact, one of the satellites designed to land there, collect samples, and bring them home. In the event, it crashed on the Mare Crisium. There was no threat to Apollo at all.
Because the fear was that they may have actually interfered with the American landings, and perhaps they, because the Cold War was on, of course, wasn't it, Sir Patrick?
Not a chance. There was absolutely no thought of that. They aimed to collect samples and bring them home, quite independent of Apollo.
Do you think we can learn more from going back to the moon, Sir Patrick?
Yes, I do. We should have a lunar base there of immense value as a survey base, medical centre, physical centre, observatory. It will have immense value for all mankind. And importantly, too, it must be international. China has now come into the space programme. I very much hope we can have Chinese, American, Russian collaboration. Whether they will, I don't know, but I hope so.
Would you like to have gone?
I'd love to have gone. I was the wrong age, wrong nationality. It would need a very massive rocket to launch me.
Oh, I don't know about that. Now, there's a great quote from you in yesterday's papers when you were asked the question, and Buzz Aldrin actually once hit, I believe, physically hit a conspiracy theorist who came up to him and said, "You faked the landings." There's a great quote from you saying, "Ignorance is bliss, so those who don't think it happened should be very happy."
Exactly.
You absolutely have no doubt that it was all as it was.
Of course I have. Anyone who thinks otherwise, well, frankly, it's completely bad. It would be more difficult to fake it than to do it.
The interesting thing was, I don't know if you saw this, but the Evening Standard in London last week reprinted its front page, which was an award-winning front page from 1969, because it was in colour. And it did admit that the picture they used was a NASA fake, that actually it was sent out 24 hours beforehand, because they had to print it in colour and it took a long time in those days. But it was actually a mock-up by NASA and wasn't actually the real landing.
I didn't see that.
Does it surprise you, though, that?
I don't believe it.
Well, no, the Evening Standard admits it itself. It says it wasn't a real photograph.
Oh, well, up to them.
But
you can't trust all you see in the press. But frankly, anyone who says the entire thing was fake really needs their brains examined.
Well, we're going to talk to a man and we'll see whether his brains need examining. But, Sir Patrick, what are you going to be doing tomorrow to mark this great moment?
Well, yeah, I can't do a lot now. A wartime spinal injury has caused up, and I'm well limited by physical activities, I'm afraid. We're doing a special Skype night programme, of course.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning, and thank you for all the work you've done and kept us fascinated with the sky at night over these long, long years. Well, joining us on the line is a man who Sir Patrick Moorfield should have his brains examined, because he is Marcus Allen from Nexus magazine. And Marcus, you're actually in the category who believe that it was faked.
That's correct, yes. And I'm very happy at the moment. As Sir Patrick has rightly said, if ignorance is bliss, I should be happy. The trouble is, I'm not ignorant. That is something which, after 15 years of study, I can't be accused of. In fact, indirectly, Sir Patrick has confirmed the major problem that I have with space or space travel as well. He said it as radiation. Radiation is the showstopper of space.
He was talking about Mars in particular.
Yes, but Mars is in space in the same way that the Moon is and the Earth is, and we're all affected by radiation, which is generated by the Sun. It doesn't affect us on Earth because of the Earth's magnetic field and the atmosphere of the Earth. It protects us quite significantly from the dangers of radiation. Now, once you get beyond the Van Allen radiation belts, which stop at about 40 to 50,000 miles above the Earth's surface, you're exposed to the full gamut of space radiation generated by the Sun and also galactic radiation.
But that's why they wear those special suits, don't they?
Well, they wear special suits, obviously, because they have to be protected not only from the extremes of heat and cold that exist in space. Space is actually very, very... Well, space doesn't have a temperature. That's the point of it. It's got nothing in space to have a temperature until you put somebody there to have it, like a spacecraft or a space person.
And are you saying radiation is the reason why we didn't land on the Moon? Is that your argument, Marcus?
It's why the evidence for the landing on the Moon is so dubious. Now, the evidence as presented by NASA is in the form of films and photographs and astronauts and books and interviews and all the other PR stuff that we've been consuming for the last 40 years. Radiation damages photographic film. There's no dispute about that. If you put a camera through an airport X-ray machine a few years ago, you're always told, no, that will damage the film. We'll search it by hand. And if a small X-ray can damage photographic film, the effect on photographic film in the cameras carried on Apollo, which were Hasselblad cameras, would be quite severe. Therefore, the film would probably be unusable.
But what do you say to the latest pictures that have come out from NASA, which are showing debris on the Moon and, of course, even astronauts' footsteps from Apollo 14?
Well, I've had a look at those. Very interesting, and I'm very, very pleased to see them. Because it does confirm what many people have always suspected, that eventually we would be able to see evidence of landing on the Moon. There's one that's still missing. Apollo 12 hasn't been photographed yet. I don't quite know why. There are various questions which arise from those photographs.
But you're not saying NASA have elaborately faked these photographs that have just come out today or over the last 24 hours?
No, absolutely. I've got no evidence for that at all.
So therefore, if there's a footstep on the Moon, you must accept that man was on the Moon.
Well, we haven't seen a footstep. What we've seen is what purports to be the track of the Apollo 14 cart. They pulled their equipment along behind them in what looked like a golf buggy.
No, NASA are saying that there is an astronaut footpath in the lunar dust close to where Apollo 14 landed.
Yeah. They do show that. There does appear to be a track. It's not footprints, it's the track of a small cart. But they also show the Apollo 16 and 17 landings. Well, what you see is a tiny little black shadow about 2 millimetres long, which, if it is in the correct position, would indicate that there is something placed on the Moon by man. That's never been in dispute. The Russians have been doing it for years.
But you raise a good point, because if this had been faked, which was a pretty elaborate thing to do, surely the Russians, even the Chinese by now, would have actually produced evidence to say it wasn't true.
Well, it's ironic, isn't it, that the Russians indirectly did blow that whistle and say... because in 1963, they were asked outright, and don't forget the Russians had been well ahead of America up to that point in space exploration, space travel. They were actually very successful. And they were asked, when do you intend to land a man on the Moon? And their answer was pretty straightforward. It said, we will land a cosmonaut on the moon when we can ensure his safe return due to the dangers of radiation.
Well, that's very interesting. But as Sir Patrick said as well, you know, there were dangerous moments in the first moon landing, and if they hadn't blasted off at a certain time and a certain point, then it was a danger to them. However, you must take some solace from the revelation in the Evening Standard last week, which was that their front page, which is a great front page, it was a colour front page, the headline is The First Footstep. It has a picture of an astronaut in colour coming down the ladder and walking alongside the moon craft. It was a mock-up. It was a NASA mock-up.
Yeah. NASA are very good at mocking up things like that. Obviously, they wanted to get the information out. The world was watching. The world needed to see evidence. However, NASA tend to produce the evidence that we think we ought to be looking at. And the evidence was, a man has walked down the ladder from his lander and he's walking along the lunar surface. Because this is what we had seen on the rather blurry television images a little bit earlier. The point is that you're quite right to say that this was a mock-up, because NASA cannot get around the fact that the first color images were not produced until about 3 weeks after Apollo 11 returned to Earth. Because the cameras were left on the lunar surface, which seems a bit of a waste, but the magazines had been detached from the cameras and were returned with the astronauts, who were then spent three weeks in quarantine in case they brought some lunar bugs back with them.
But even though the Evening Standard admits, and presumably other newspapers printed this photograph at the time, even though they admit that it happened, the photograph was mocked up and it was sent to them well in advance, the ruling was they couldn't use it until man had actually landed on the moon. If, Marcus, you're right, where did it take place? Where did the moon landings that we watched in television in 1969, where did it take place?
They took place in several different locations. They weren't secret. There was no sort of secret location in the middle of a desert somewhere. These were the simulation and training exercises conducted quite openly in locations from Washington State down to Texas, from California across to Virginia. There are pictures available. You can see all these places that they did them. Some were inside, some were outside. In Virginia, there is a picture of a giant gantry, 250 foot long and about 80 foot high, that was used to simulate the landing of the lunar module. And underneath it, underneath the gantry, is a mock-up of the lunar surface. They had to try and make it as real as possible, and it's what you would have expected to have happened.
And finally, Marcus, why go to all that trouble?
Because they had the money to do it. Don't forget that Kennedy had made his announcement in 61 in response to Yuri Gagarin's flight on April the 12th, 1961. And by the way, Yuri Gagarin was not the first Russian into space. He wasn't even the second or the third. He was the 10th Russian in space. And Pravda admitted that in 2001. So Russia had been faking things as well. America were faking it because they were desperate to try to demonstrate their technological superiority.
But you're not saying, are you, Marcus, that a man as bright as Sir Patrick Moore has been conned all these years?
No, Patrick Moore, or Sir Patrick as he is now, was reporting what he was seeing, what he was being shown. He was interviewing astronauts. I saw the interview that he conducted with Buzz Aldrin very recently in London. But he was also at the press conference when the Apollo 11 astronauts were presented to the world's press after their three-week quarantine, and Sir Patrick asked them a very interesting question. He said, what do the stars look like in space? Which is a very good question. And their answer is one of the most weird answers I can recall. It's that they said, we don't really recall seeing any stars, which is actually not a very good answer, because of course there are stars in space. And as many people say, they don't appear in the photographs. No, of course they don't, because anybody who knows about photographs will know you have to have fairly long exposure. Mm. But nobody has ever recorded, to my knowledge, nobody's ever recorded on the Apollo program any photograph of stars. All you have to do is to point the camera straight up, There's no atmosphere to interfere with it.
Well, it's a very, very interesting argument. You've heard Sir Patrick's view on it. You've heard Marcus Allen's view from Nexus Magazine. Marcus, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.
Listen, and log on to the Voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.